pale horse. The man who sat on him was death. And hell followed with him.
You're killing me, man.
And welcome to Declarations of War. I am your host, Alexei Abkar, joined by my special guests, Andy Astronaut.
Hey.
And Krav Maa.
Hello.
Very happy to have these guys here. Andy, a top guy, and recently promoted into director roles at Noir for our U.S. time zone, and Krav, a recent recruit. Speaking of Noir, we're looking for a few good pilots, as usual, but we're doing something a little bit special. Not quite right now, but starting very soon, we're going to be putting a lot of emphasis on Noir recruitment. Really want to grow the corp into... It's never going to be quite what it used to be, but the Noir for 2019, the Noir for 2020, the new Noir. Noir for the modern era, if you will. And we're looking for a few good pilots to support that. So if you're interested in having a little bit more direction to your EVE PvP, if you're looking to learn from the best, fly with the best, enjoy some of the best content that the game has to offer in a really cool small gang community environment, hit up Noir. Join our public channel, Cafe Noir, with the dot at the end of it. You can also DM me, Alexei of Card, DM Andy Astronaut. We all want to hear from you and look forward to getting to know you. So we asked our audience, in the shadow of EVE Vegas, what is your patience level with CCP regarding EVE's direction? And we had 6 votes. 3 people, about 50%, were waiting for EVE Vegas. 2, 33%, said they're in for at least a year. And then 1 said end of 2019's patch. Well, that guy's going to be disappointed, as we learned.
Yeah, very.
Not terribly surprised. I think a lot of people were looking at EVE Vegas as kind of a watershed moment. Obviously, that didn't quite happen. There's going to be EVE London before the end of the year, but I don't think there's any reason to suspect that there's going to be some kind of feature bombshell rolled out at that time to kind of fix all of EVE's problems immediately.
Yeah, I think they played it pretty safe with EVE Vegas, so I kind of expect the same through the end.
Yeah, I get the sense the feeling was like, oh, it's a rebuilding year kind of thing. We're putting a lot of emphasis on new player experience, and for older players, we're not so much focusing on what we're going to do, but how we're going to do it. With the idea being that the what will come over the course of the next couple months. The new team Talon, the balance team, has at least given us a high-level look at what some of the next couple patches are going to be. None of them seem bad, necessarily, except for the assault friggin' nerf. Fuck you.
Mine is the Jag one. I'm okay with the Jag one. The rest of them, I'm upset about.
Yeah, kicking Ishker while it's down, you know what I mean? Jeez. But, you know, the other ones seem fine. The prospect of some kind of autocannon buff seems cool. Autocannon's a great weapon system. We used to be greater. Prospect of a Cinnabon nerf, I know, is going to make a lot of people sad, particularly Lave, who loves those ships, but I think realistically it is kind of it's a little out of tune, you know, so I get that. It makes sense a little bit, especially if they're giving buffs to the weapon system that it's using.
Hopefully that will end up being kind of like a net neutral. Like if its damage system gets a buff, but the ship itself gets a nerf, it'll kind of end up being about where it's at now, or close to it at least.
Yeah. The Cinnabon is always in kind of a weird spot because it's directly competing with the Vagabond. And unless you kind of like rework the Vagabond's core identity, it's always going to kind of be that way.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
So I guess the other way to approach it would be rework the Cinnabon in such a way that it's a little more unique. And maybe they tune the power down while they're doing that. But they just have so many overlaps right now. Same weapon system, similar speed, similar concept that they're like the fast heavy cruiser. They got to do something to split it up. Maybe like mess with the drone bays a little, or tweak hit points in some way, or I'm not sure. I haven't really given it much thought. I'm just kind of throwing shit out here. Krav, where were you in this poll, if I were to ask you? Where were you at?
Honestly, if I hadn't joined Noor, I probably wouldn't be in the game right now.
Damn.
Yeah, just really unsatisfied with what I was doing in NullSec. It wasn't engaging at all. It was not. It's the same thing over and over again. And if I hadn't found some new content, a new style of fighting, I probably wouldn't be in the game. I wouldn't have resubbed my characters.
Well, I'm really glad that you did, because it has been absolutely awesome flying with Krav Maga, and I think it does speak to, you know, what you've just said. I've heard so many other people say, but they didn't make the decision to try something different. They just stayed miserable or dropped the game completely.
I think variety is really important, and I think the moment something gets stale, it's time to switch something up, throw something in that's gonna keep you on your toes.
Absolutely. Speaking of variety, one of the best parts about Noir, variety-wise, is the contracts. As you guys know, listening in the audience, we are full-time mercenaries. That was key to the old Noir identity, and we are the same now. Which means we're taking contracts all the time, and these contracts tend to vary quite a bit. We've got structure kills, structure defense. We've got attacking entire regions, attacking specific systems. Training contracts, you name it, we can do it. And in this case, we had a training contract and a brand new kind of contract which we offered. I guess it's not a whole contract necessarily. It was really a structured defense, but the style we did it was very new, the force multiplication contract. So we wanted to give you guys a breakdown of what we've been up to contract wise since we weren't able to get to it in the last episode. First things first, we got a contract from Forcus Armadas in Syndicate. Now, these guys are led by an old Noir friend, Stromgren. Much like us, he restarted his corp recently and was looking to get his newbies a little more content, some training, some feedback on how they were doing, that kind of thing. And so, we discussed terms, how we were going to run it, and the way that he wanted it run was live fire on the actual Tranquility server. And we were going to use Tech 1 ships, so it was a little more sustainable. We weren't throwing, like, Tech 3 stuff at each other. And, you know, let's do joint fleets, let's do scrimmages, that kind of thing. So, I put some fits together of, like, what are really classic EVE fits for various ships, and let's T1 them. So, like, the old Whelp Kane and Whelp Tempest T1 version. Rapid Light Missile Caracal, T1 version. Packed them up into some jump freighters, jumped them down to Easy A in Syndicate, which longtime listeners will recognize as a former Noir HQ back in the day. And we started roaming around. It became immediately apparent that, much like the rest of the game, activity was an issue. Both for them and for us, to be fair. It was a bit of a struggle to get pilots on, and hell, it was a bit of a struggle to find targets to kill, even if we had them. Syndicate not nearly as active as it used to be, which is pretty unfortunate, I think.
Yeah, the whole region was really quiet. We did a couple just like roams around to see if we could find anybody ratting, and like there was a few gate campers and that kind of thing, but overall just like not a lot.
I did want to talk about one really good roam that we did though. We strapped ourselves into a couple of Tech 1 Thoraxes, and I'm really happy that we got Andy and Krav Maga here at the same time to talk about this, because they were both involved in this op. And, you know, we had some of the Forcus Armadas guys with us. I had Strom and some of his dudes. And we rolled out and tried, well, NullSec wasn't giving us anything, let's try LowSec. What can we get out in the LowSec that borders Syndicate? So we went into Placid, and we found content pretty darn quickly. First thing that came up was a Brutix looking to go around in solo, and he was more than willing to take a fight with us, But he didn't really have much choice because he was flashy red. So we were going to get him no matter what. We had tackled both sides of the gate. But he was quite game and decided to engage us directly. And it was a pretty interesting fight. It was Confessor, two thoraxes, a caracal, and I think that was it initially. Against a Brutix, which was well fit. And keep in mind, we're all Tech 1, aside from that Confessor. We had Tech 1 guns, no rigs. This guy had full Tech 2 fit, full rigs. So it was a hell of a brawl. And it went pretty well, I think. We did trade two cruisers, but we came out on top big time. It's like 70% efficient or something like that. Kravma, that was one of your major engagements outside of the first op you were on with us, which we'll talk about next. How was that fight for you?
It was like jarring. Jumped in, had a Brutix on me. I think I was plus one-ing for you guys. And to my amazement, it was like blinky red in a low sec. I thought I wasn't going to be able to take it. And you confirmed that I could take that without getting aggressed by the guns. And I think I don't think I lasted very long on him once I had him tackled, but I think I held him long enough on the gate that he aggressed and you guys were able to jump in and secure the kill.
Yeah, he definitely primaried you, which makes sense. As a thorax, you're in the same range as him, so, and you were the first one on the field, so of course he goes for you first. I actually thought you lasted a pretty long time, all in all. I'm sure that the ECM drones we were using helped on that front. But he did kill you. Surprisingly, it was that Strongbrain got killed in his Caracal. I'm not entirely sure how he got caught. I think he may have gone in for a web on the Brutix, and then the Brutix turned on him and brought him down. That was a little unexpected. Also, the Forcus Armada's Confessor, flown by Tiffany, was focused on popping the drones of the Brutix that had been assigned on him, which is not a bad idea for you pilots out there if your tank is getting broken. It's a great way to help your fleet while keeping yourself safe, just kind of burning away, popping the drones as you do it. But he had long since been able to tank what the Brutix was doing, but hadn't switched back over to the Brutix itself, so we were losing a big chunk of damage on this guy. And finally it came down to just me, and then the Confessor left. And at that point, it was looking a little dire. The Brutix was structure tanked, and he was about to kill me, I'm not going to lie. But I switched up my transversal a little bit, which helped tremendously. It cut his damage down big time. And then by confirming that the Confessor needed to hit the Brutix itself, we started winning the DPS race again in tandem with the transversal change. So between those two things, we did manage to bring him down. It was a great fight, and shout out to the great Lobo from Soylent Incorporated for that tremendous engagement. But we weren't done. This was during the 100% loot drop, and we held the field, so we looted all of our stuff. And again, T1 ships, T1 fits, Corp insured. We were pretty close to a trade hub, so everybody that lost ships just ran out and got more. And we kept going. The next fight was freaking crazy. Ice water in the veins for this one. Now, if you're a small gang pilot, you've seen this a million times. A Razu on the gate, or some other Sino ship around, you want to engage it, but you know, of course, that it is going to have some kind of backup, some kind of gank squad behind it. Well, this is no exception. We saw this Razu floating around, and I knew that it was going to have something behind it. But I was checking out their corp kill board, and I didn't think it was going to be that bad. So I was like, all right, let's try to do this. Now, Kravma, I'm going back to you once again, because once again, you got primaried. I don't know how, considering my name starts with A and your name starts with K, but for some reason, you just got shit on this op.
So you landed on the Arazu first, I think. You were the one that like called out the target, and... So everyone followed you. I think we had two more Caracals with us and Tiffany and the Confessor. So they pulled range and they started shooting it. And it, I think it melted fairly quickly, if I recall correctly. It was gone almost as fast as we could get on it.
It looked like it was going to do that. And then I don't know if he turned hardeners on or what, but he started stabilizing a little bit. And that's when the Sino happened. They brought in this Thanatos and a Loki. The Thanatos came in first. I think the Loki was actually a warp in. Now, you see Thanatos, oh shit, that's a problem. But, you know, this is in Razu. It's worth our entire fleet times, like, four. So I ordered everyone to double down on this Arazo and try to kill it first. The idea is kill it before the Arazo would like wipe our entire fleet. Then they brought in this Loki. I think the Loki is what really screwed you because he webbed you down pretty hard.
Yeah, I was in the middle of a lining out and I was webbed and the Thanny's fighters landed on me and I got like alpha'd.
Oh, so this guy didn't have any... he was actually well-fed. I don't know what I'm remembering. Fuck me. I'm old. Yeah, he didn't have any hardener. It was full passive, but he had double faction plates, syndicate plates. So his shields went quick, but then we hit a brick wall. But it wasn't that bricky. So I ordered everyone to burn in, overheat the guns, etc. And then as we were about to pop it, we aligned out and warped out. Kravma died, but we killed this thing. It was a 550 mil ISK kill for a just over 8 mil loss, which again, Corp Insured. Which is incredible. But yeah, that's I realize that's one of the benefits of flying that cheap, which we don't usually do as a Corp, but you really like it changes your perspective on a lot of these fights, and you can get way more aggressive. Even reckless at times, because who cares? You know, you lose a cruiser or two, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I just popped that guy's Arazu fit in Pypha, and he actually doesn't tank that much for, like, he looks like he's fit fine, but he tanks like 50k HP, which isn't bad, but I think most, like, Sino fits are more like the 80 to 100.
Well, he doesn't have, I think, a damage control. What's he missing on that?
He has a damage control, but no Sino fit.
Where did that Sino come from, though? Was the Sino on the Loki?
If I remember correctly, the Thanny was like 100 over the gate the entire time.
Oh.
It just took a while for its fighters to get down to us, and we popped the Arazu fast enough that the fighters couldn't apply except to me.
Nice. That was a great fight. That was Special Operations Forces SOF, a tiny corp out in Placid Lusac, willing to throw caps around, but not today. It was a great engagement. I was just late at night, but definitely worth going out. Unfortunately, we weren't really able to get too much besides that. We tried setting up a couple engagements in Syndicate. We even tried roaming into Fountain. But Fountain was actually too active, now that I think about it. We had to back out of there almost immediately because they formed a defense fleet in like 30 seconds. Well, luckily we didn't get caught. We were able to continue on to do other stuff with our evening. But that's just kind of the foreplay. And it was a multi-week contract, but for me, the highlight of the whole deployment was the secondary contract we took on top of it. Now, this one was something else. This is a Fortizar defense in high sec, so we had to war deck for this, but it was well worth it. Let's pull up battle report here. We got hired... I mean, initially, I thought we were just coming in on the one war, but it wound up being this group, Galactic Mafia, had war decked several corps that I guess were familiar with each other. They knew each other from somewhere. We were contracted initially to join in the war from United Neopian Federation, but apparently they were also at war with the Valor Accords and... what was that other corp? There's one other smaller corp involved that I can't recall their name off the top of my head. But it was like a much bigger conflict than we initially thought. And the job was to help defend a Chitara, this like very expensive refinery in Hisek, in its final timers from Galactic Mafia. And they also had a staging Astra House in the same system. The plan was to disrupt what the enemy was expected to bring, and they didn't disappoint. A Lashak Corps supported by Hospital Dominixes. If you're not familiar with the Hospital Dami, it's got three remote repairs for armor in the highs, and three remote cap transfers in the highs. It's very resilient, still brings a lot of damage onto the field. I mean, the tank on the Dominix is very bricky. You don't really have to worry so much about like what your mid-slots are for, so you can use them for cap or other remote assistance. And it brings a lot of damage with the sentry drones or heavies if you get in close. Meanwhile, it brings all this surprising amount of logistic stability to the field. And when you've got Lashaks that are quite expensive and quite cap-dependent, it's great to back them up with something like that. Of course, the Lashaks themselves are remote rep fit. In this case, they also included a cap transfer. Other than that, they were fairly standard for a high-sec Lashak. Well, there's a fair bit of them. So we were thinking about how we were going to break this, and of course, you look at a Lashak, you look at the mechanics around the Triglavian ships, you think ECM. So we went with a fleet of Kitsunes, and I had brought one of my alts in a Vigil just to give the attacking fleet a little leg up on the damage front to help break those RR ships. And it was quite the engagement. Galactic Mafia did not disappoint. They put their ships onto the field. The United Neopian Federation sacrificed a series of Armageddons to hold those ships in place, which they kind of had to do. Keep in mind, in Hisek, and this is a recent change, relatively recent, if you're at war with someone, and someone else is at war with the same person, you still can't rep each other. So all of the logistics support that the Valor Accords had brought was not accessible to the United Neopian Federation. Which meant that these guys were basically sacrificing themselves, for better or worse. They undocked from their Chitara, they got the points. They wound up getting shredded by these Lashaks, but they held them long enough for the main bulk of the fleet to land. Now, this was already going to be a pretty competitive fight, but I would have given the slight edge to Galactic Mafia, especially after they had brought down the Geddens initially. The Valor Accords had less Lashaks, a lot more logistics, as a matter of fact, but they didn't really have the damage. With the Geddens gone, they definitely didn't have the nuke pressure. But then we landed. And once our E-War was on the field, the fight was basically over. We rolled in with the Kitsunes. They were stacked in the mid-slots for jamming Lashaks. And for whatever reason, the Lashaks only had the one ECCM. Which, if you want to math it out, it just is not enough. Especially when you have four of them and your folks are overheating them. And you've got the coordination and communication that a NAR fleet does. We were calling out who was jammed, made sure we didn't stack our jams in the same person, trying to jam someone that was already jammed. We were letting fleets know when we didn't have the jams, and they had to like adjust in some kind of way. The overall effect was an absolute slaughter. It did not go well. They lost about 4 billion, all told, between the initial engagement and later engagements where we took out a bunch of destroyers. I would say almost all of that is in Lashak kills and some Dominixes. And the defenders lost 2.2 all in all. Actually, no, that's not true. Those are some rando hulks. Hold on. Defenders lost 1.37. It's not too bad. They also won the war, because after this initial fight, we wound up going over to the Astra House and taking a fight on there. But before we go into that, Krav Maa has an interesting role in this story, because we had been talking about recruiting Krav Maa, but he wasn't actually in the Corp yet. So my thought was to bring him along on this contract op and just like put him in something that he could help with. So we went with a bumping ship. Krav Maa Talk about bumping the fleet.
So I'd never done high sec bumping before. So that was a completely new mechanic to me. I was told, bring a bumping ship. I went and I Googled it, found some posts on Reddit, and I ended up in a stabber with like an oversized micro warp drive, and literally that was it. It just had a micro warp drive. We landed on field and Nora started doing their thing, but I was just kind of this like neutral flying around. And I think I got one really good run up on one of the dommies. My job was basically to mess with their Logi, try to push them out of their optimal range so they couldn't transfer cap or HP as well. So I put one dommy about 15 clicks off of like the pack of Logi. And I think after that, I didn't get as good a hit. I was like moving them around, but they were still within their optimal. And I did that for about the 10, 15 minutes it took for them to like lose the fight. And after that, my role was like just beating up the Logi.
Yeah, that 15 kilometer knock is about perfect. It puts them well outside of range of both the cap transfer and the armor wrap. So that dummy was basically useless for that fight. Generally speaking, I think we had all the Leshaks jammed for pretty much the duration of the engagement. They really didn't have much of an opportunity to fight back once we got onto the field. Took them a little bit while before they realized that. Once they did, they cleared off most of their fleet and went back to the Astra House. At which point, we were asked if we'd like to assist attacking the Astra. We didn't have any ships to switch to, so we had to stay in these Kitsunes. Again, we couldn't hop in logistics or anything like that because of the new Concord rules, so we were kind of stuck. It's at that point that we extended Kravma an invitation to join the court. He had been a great guy to fly with, knocked that dummy out like a champ, showed a lot of initiative in terms of fitting his ship correctly and stuff, so he came in, we gave him a Kitsune. And then we went in for the Astra House attack, and man, that was challenging, to say the least.
For sure.
Yeah, like, I guess I underappreciated how effective Citadels were in high sec, as haven't engaged one in a long, long time, let alone one that had defense. But, you know, we had a fairly sizable battleship fleet, and they were really struggling.
I think the lack of the ability for, like, I think only a couple of the corps were actually like allied. So like you said, we couldn't provide Logi support. And because we were in Kitsunes, we were only like limited to jamming, I believe. What we were jamming either the fighters or the subcaps. What were we trying to jam?
Basically, they were feinting battleships initially, but they really weren't going to do much with that. And then they started going with these destroyer runs. And I guess the best way to describe these destroyer runs are like suicide drive-bys. So they would pile all these destroyers in and they would send them at one of the logistic ships with the hope of popping it. Now there were a couple T1 Logis in the fleet, like Augurs, I think specifically. So the idea was go in there, blow those up, even if you lose all of your Thrashers and your catalyst, doesn't matter. Eventually you'll force the attacking fleet off the field because they'll run out of logistics dudes. And it was a pretty effective strategy, actually. It wound up, at the end of the day, not working for them, but it came, I would say, fairly close. And our job was basically to disrupt their alpha, try to keep the Logis alive. There were also some Griffins flying around that we wanted to shut down. So we would come on field to try to counter jam the jammers so the attacking Leshaks wouldn't get their damage reset.
Yeah, so I was away camping the weekend that the Citadel defense was, so I kind of like missed out, but I was like on one bar trying to like watch vicariously as like kill mails popped up. And so I didn't get to see it, but I remember a while back I've seen someone do something very similar with the kind of like the suicide thrashers, but they used I think suicide tornadoes. And what they would do is stay on their Citadel all aligned and all tethered and then lock, shoot, and then warp off as fast as they could. And each time one or two would get tackled. But it's basically the same concept, is even though you lose a couple, they're super cheap. They're just meant to alpha. And if you can kill off Logi, then maybe you can actually engage later.
Yeah, I would characterize it as a very effective tactic. If any listeners have their Citadels under attack and the attacker is using, especially Tech 1 Logi, which is not, it's not technically exponentially more fragile, but it feels that way than a T2 Logi or a battleship. They don't have the resists. They have a bigger SIG. They're just lower effective hit points overall. You can definitely kill them with, yeah, I would say probably Tornadoes would do it. That's the more effective way to do it. But with the Thrashers coming in, they're even cheaper, even easier to replace. They're also much smaller, so you can jump them in if you're not near a trade hub. It's definitely a viable variant of that tactic, I would say. But at the end of the day, it was not effective enough. The Lashaks were able to maintain damage on the Astor House long enough for all of that chaos that they were able to push it to its final timer. As a result, the attackers let the war expire. And so, victory for the good guys. They'd rather not fight than risk losing their war HQ.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably... Yeah, that was probably the smart move on their part.
Yeah, I would say so. If these guys were able to field the same fleet, but maybe tweak the logistics spread so that the corps were a little more evenly covered, and if we came back with the same spread of ships so they weren't able to use battleships to defend, I definitely think it would have been a losing effort for them. Although it would have been a very spirited fight.
Yeah, again, I'm super bummed that I wasn't there because it did look like a really good fight. It looked like it was, you know, at least ship losses, it was pretty close to even for the first part, right? It looks like they lost 5 battleships and we lost 5 battleships,
but we their lost battleships were, and they lost Lashaks.
Yeah, I was going to say their battleships were way more expensive. But like kill-wise, like pretty even trades until they started throwing destroyers at. So it looked like it would have been really fun. So I was disappointed I missed it.
It was pretty exciting playing the Katsune in that environment. The Astor House definitely did not like us. whoever was gunning that thing was sending fighters at us constantly and trying to time tackles so that we couldn't run away when the fighters arrived. It worked a handful of times. We lost a few Katsunes on that engagement. But overall, contract success, well worth it for us in terms of efficiency. And I was pretty happy with it. And the employers were as well.
Yeah.
But you know who's not happy right now? Providence. Andy, why don't you take us through how the Providence landscape has been changing in terms of the ongoing conflict down there between traditionally Providence versus Wrecking Crew, but now expanding to many other groups.
Yeah, sure. So I've always kind of been a little passive in the area, but before I joined Noir, I was part of HTP, which is also in RC and lives in Providence and actually holds some SOP there. So I've had a pretty good lay of the landscape. A lot of my battles have been directly with Provi. And so for the past, like, probably year or so, it's been kind of up and down in like frequency, but it's really just been mostly Provi versus RC back and forth, one-on-ones, and then occasionally if there's like a big timer, Provi will bat phone test, and if Provi bat phones test, then RC will bat phone Horde or someone similar. So in general, it's been pretty much those groups and nobody else to kind of join in or, you know, poke their finger in at all. But the past, I guess, 2 weeks or so, there's actually been quite a few other groups that have kind of popped in and joined one side or the other. So one notable one is FedUp, who I think on Talking in Stations talked a little bit about their Providence campaign. And so they've been around and joining on the RC side. So they've been allied with us. They've actually had some really cool doctrines. They bring these MJD, some MJD Nagas, and they bring a Boucher. And basically, anytime they get close to getting caught, they just Boosh in a bunch of directions or Boosh off their whole fleet and regroup. And it's been really effective. Provi really hasn't been able to pin them down on anything, so that's been kind of cool to see. But then on the other side, Provi's actually brought in some allies of their own. They've brought in, namely, Volta. So I'm not sure if this is a short-term thing or if it's a longer-term alliance, but there was, I think, last weekend, there was a fight where Provi just, like, head just rammed right into us, and we were trying to figure out what happened. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of Volta pilots pop into local, and they had a Legion fleet that they brought in on the Pravi side. So it's been interesting to see the politics kind of get shaken up and see some extra groups in there that don't normally come around.
How do you think this is going to impact the fighting in general?
I don't know. I think it'll be kind of interesting to see where it heads. I think both RC and Pravi have kind of had this mentality that there's like a level of healthy kind of combat that just happens where the needle gets pushed a little bit one way or the other, but there's no big changes in the region. And it seems like with other groups coming in, that might not be the status quo anymore. So I don't know. We'll see if anything really does happen. I haven't seen Volta around lately, so I don't know if it'll really have a big impact or if it'll just go back to kind of what it was before, where it's RC and Pravi with bat phones here and there. It's kind of hard to guess. It's early on in these other groups coming in.
If they are in, I think surely numbers-wise, you would give Wrecking Crew the advantage. Would you expect it to accelerate in such a way that that Providence would begin to collapse in some way?
I don't think I would go that far. I think what you see is that Fed Up, like RC, has a really strong US wing, but Pravi has a lot of numbers in EU. And so, you know, just today there was a fight and they had 140 in their staging with Pravi alone, no bat phones or anything. And it's just really hard with their timers, and the number of people they can pull in EU to really combat that. So I think in US, like anything that's set to US time with RC plus Fed Up or other groups in the region, I think there's not a lot of contesting there. But it would be really hard to see me or see Pravi crumble or anything like that, especially with all their EU timers and the numbers they can field in EU.
Well, I hope they don't, because it's super entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great content. So, yeah, I really don't want to see them go anywhere. It's always fun to see them get knocked down a peg or two sometimes, but I don't want them going anywhere long term.
Yeah, as much as I dislike them, we often find ourselves fighting against them. I've experienced a Providence without Pravi block in it, and it's not nearly as fun. So, just hope they continue bringing the good fight, and they don't get too blobbed out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also one of the few places you can go where you don't get supers dropped on you. Like, I've seen, you know, Pravi has supers, or at least has some supers, but they really don't drop them on you. They don't use them in a lot of fights most of the time. Occasionally they'll drop one in a gank or something like that, but really, like, in general, it's not like supers versus supers every day. It's almost always subcaps with some cap support here and there, and that's just not super common other places.
All right, let's move into host highlights. My highlight was building those tech one fits. I really enjoyed kind of going back to basics on some of them and just seeing what would be possible with Tech 1 hulls, either Tech 1 or as cheap as Tech 1 named, fitting conditions, no rigs, just really back to old school EVE, and seeing what could be done with that. And I was pleasantly surprised at what our options were and how effective they were in combat. So I had a great time with that. Crab?
Recently, I fielded into flying a Loki. And Nora gave me the opportunity to start actually flying one without with people to help me out. And so I've been hunting a lot in low sec, trying to find a fight. And so far, it's been really interesting. It's not like any other ship I've ever flown. It takes a lot of like precision and a lot more forethought before taking any fight. And so far, I've actually haven't gotten a single kill with it yet. I don't know if that's just Syndicate being quiet, or maybe it's me not knowing where to look. So I'm definitely gonna have to work on finding systems where I can find ratters. But learning how to fly a Loki is a lot harder than I thought it would be.
I think you'll have much better luck now that we're relocating back to Providence in between contracts. Syndicate, not really a ratting heavy region because it doesn't have the ability to have iHubs planted inside it. It's got a couple mission systems and they get a little popular, but that's about it as far as PvE goes. I mean, moons, obviously, but that's really it. I think if you try your hand inside Pravi, you'll see a much more target-rich environment, but it'll also be a higher-risk environment because the players you'll be fighting against are much more organized. Interesting challenge for you, and I hope you keep the podcast updated on how that's going.
Will do.
Andy.
Yeah, so my highlight is actually a fight that happened earlier today with Pravi. So speaking of Pravi, we brought a Rattlesnake fleet with Bassy support against them for a couple structure timers. Nothing super important. I think it was like an armor timer on a Raitaru and maybe one other thing. Pravi stayed docked for quite a while, but finally brought out a Munin fleet, a pretty sizable Munin fleet, actually. They had a little over 60 Munins, and they jumped into us and just brawled it out. So the first round, they absolutely wiped our Logi, which unfortunately was me included. But they ended up trading, I think, 6 or 8 Logi for like dozens of Munins. So RC came out pretty far ahead on that one. I actually ended up warping out my pod and reshipping to a malediction and coming back in so I could get back in the action. But yeah, we were sitting, RC was sitting really good. We were like definitely up. We had kind of won the engagement. And then Test actually came in and they dropped a meme Aeon. And so there's just this super sitting on the gate. And then they ended up wrecking a couple Hodreds we had on grid, a couple Faxes. I think most of our subcaps ended up getting off the field, but they definitely leveled the playing field there. So yeah, it ended up being a really good brawl. It ended up almost 50-50. I think we ended up losing a little bit more than they did, but it ended up being like a really good fight and it just got duked out. So yeah, it was really fun.
That sounds fantastic. I missed it by an hour. I was so upset. I was looking at the kill board after. God damn it.
Yeah, it was good. We actually had a decent number of pilots show up. It was good timing. So we got one EU dude, Krav was there, and I was there. So yeah.
Moving into shoutouts, I want to give a shout out to Stromgren. I really appreciate him. He's been a good friend in EVE for a long time now. Like, shoot, I think back when we were living in Syndicate the first time around, if not a little bit before that. So, chop, props to him, and you know, he really gave us a chance, gave us our first multi-week contract since we've been back, and it was a, you know, interesting experience being back in Syndicate again and how much it's changed. But you know, work is work. And Strom and his crew were really good guys, so it was cool to fly with them for the short amount of period of time that we have. And looking forward to our next job, which we'll bring you more about once we get done. See you in a future episode. Andy?
Yeah, so my shout-out goes to Zan, the Bubble Master. So Zan's one of our Aussie guys, actually. And so I overlap with him just like very rarely on occasions, just to say hi, kind of. He's just waking up as I'm going to bed. But it's actually kind of cool because he does a lot of gate camping, bubble camping, and I'll always like wake up and just get to like look at our kill board and scroll through all the things he's killed while I was in bed. So yeah, my shout out goes to him.
Crap.
My shout out goes to Andy and Robert from Noir. You guys have really helped me settle in. You guys have been helping me out with fits and moving my ships and assets around, and I just want to thank you guys for making me feel welcome.
Aww.
Makes me feel all warm and fuzzy.
Well, Andy, thank you. Kravma, thank you. It was great to have you on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having us.
Love being on it.
Well, that's it, guys. Head to declarationsofwar.com to participate in this show's poll. Reminder once again that NAR is recruiting. We're going to do a big recruiting push in the month of November. We can use a few good mercenaries. Join Cafe NAR in game for more info. That's Cafe NAR with a dot at the end. Wherever you are, good hunting, listeners.